protect the Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and let us stand as we read verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Hear now God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
The last 2 weeks, we've been looking at these verses. We're going to continue to look at them today, and for the 2 weeks that are to come as well. We're looking at these things that are taught here, and we're looking at them from the viewpoint of asking the question, what is a Christian, and how do I become a Christian? The Bible, as we've already seen, looking at the beginning of these verses, in verse 8, the Bible tells us that a Christian is someone who has been saved by God's grace. And we see that grace is God's mercy, God's favor, that is given not to people who are indifferent, not to people who are neutral, but to people who are sinners. God's grace is favor given to those who are sinners, who deserve the opposite of that grace, who deserve the wrath and curse of God and punishment in hell forever because of our sins. God is gracious to us. He has given us grace. And we receive what God has given to us through faith. We saw that in faith. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not based upon something that I do or that you do, but rather faith is based upon the sure word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As that Sunday school acronym says, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all I trust in. Faith. But where does faith come from? That's the question. Where does faith come from? It's something that you can reach down inside of yourself and pull out of yourself. It is something that you can drum up so that at some time in your life you feel more like you have faith than at other times. Is faith a good work that you can present to God and say, look at me here, I've done something good, I've got faith. Or is it something else? I believe it is indeed something else. I believe the Bible teaches in this passage that faith itself, the faith that unites us to Christ, the faith that receives what God has done for us in His Son, faith itself is a gift of Almighty God. Faith is not a good work. It's necessary. You must have faith in order to be saved. The Bible tells you that you have to have faith in order to be able to please God. As Hebrews chapter 11 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, it's impossible to please God without faith in Jesus Christ. Not only that, we're told in Romans chapter 14 that he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Now, set in the context of Christian liberty, where Christians were asking the question, can you eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols? And Paul is answering that question. He is saying that you have to be convinced in your own heart, the answer to this. And he says, therefore, he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. And then he has this last statement, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Jay Adams, in one of his books, and I can't tell you which one it was, but I read just about everything that he had written. He told me one thing. I'm sure it was crazy. As I told you, Adam, one time I read almost everything that he's written. He said, you've got to be crazy. I have a good authority for Jay Adams. Told me I'm not. I'm crazy. But Jay said in one of his books that this last part of his sentence, For whatever is not from faith is sin. It is the holding principle in Scripture. And what he was saying about that was, if you are about to make a decision and you're not certain which way to go, and you cannot in good conscience and in good faith in God through Christ say, I must do this, then you better hold off. You better back up and stop and not make that choice or that decision or that move until you are able to say in your heart before God, I am doing this through faith in Christ. Because otherwise, you'll fall right into sin. Very tempting thing. You have to be very, very careful about that. So, faith is necessary. You have to have faith in order to escape the wrath of Almighty God. We've already seen the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides or remains on him. And so faith is the response of your heart to the promises of God, the promises of forgiveness of sin, the promises of reconciliation with God through the Lord Jesus Christ that are presented to us in the Bible. Faith is not something that God does for you, like justification, where God declares you just, He declares you holy, He declares you righteousness in and through the righteousness of His Son Jesus Christ. But God does not believe for you in order to save you. But then again, there is faith, a work that you do apart from the grace of God and the gift of God. And so even though faith is the response of the believing heart to the promises of God, it doesn't originate in your heart. You see, faith, even your faith, does not come from yourself. It's not a good work that you or I could glory in. Can you imagine what heaven would be like if everyone were able to walk up to God and say, boy, I really deserve to be here. When you got me, you got a good thing. Now, I know for an absolute fact that I can never say that before God. I know for an absolute fact that my life would kill you if I can never say that before God. You cannot say that when God got me, you got a good thing, because I know what my sin is like. The Bible tells us that salvation does not originate within us. The Bible, in fact, says that all men, by birth and by nature, have no faith. At the end of Romans chapter 1, Paul is enumerating all the sins that flow forth from wicked, rebellious hearts. He says this in the NIV translation. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And so, by nature, by birth, you and I are described in Scripture as being faithless, not faithful. That's the reason God has to intervene to save us. That's the reason that God does what He does, because if God had left it up to you or me to determine who would be saved or who would exercise faith, then no one would ever be saved. And so if God is God, and God has included within His plan of salvation this wonderful gift of faith that He gives to the elect people so that His people can believe the gospel when they hear it. They can repent of their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one ever can boast of his faith in Jesus as though somehow or other he were responsible for that faith. See, everyone who's saved recognizes that faith is part of the salvation that is given to us in Christ. That God is responsible for your faith and not you. It's God's gift. God's gift. In the New Testament, the Bible uses this term gift behind here in Ephesians chapter 2, 19 times. And it has four basic meanings in the New Testament. First, meaning has to do with gifts that are given in expression of honor, such as the gifts that were given to the baby Jesus by the Magi, mentioned in Matthew chapter 2. Then there are gifts that are given in celebration of some occasion, in Revelation chapter 11, after the two witnesses have been martyred and their dead bodies are lying in the street, the Bible tells us that the men of the nations began to celebrate, and the way they celebrated was they gave gifts to one another. They were so excited that the witness of God had been destroyed in the world. Of course, they're in for a rude awakening when those two dead bodies stood on their knees. But that's another story. But they were celebrating together. That was a gift. Then the Bible uses the term gift to talk about the sacrificial gifts and offerings offered on the altar in the New Testament period. And especially the fourth use is the special gift of God that He gives to the elect of saving faith. Talk for a second about these sacrificial gifts and offerings. It's used to describe the sacrifice that offered on the altar. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus talks there about if you come to offer your gift on the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, reconcile your brother, then come back and offer your gift on the altar. So this was something that was to be given in celebration and thanksgiving, and it could not be given while you were not reconciled to another brother in Christ. The word gift is used to describe the widow's mite, the two small copper coins that she put into the treasury in Luke chapter 21. It's used to describe the duty of the high priest as he offers gifts and sacrifices upon the altar. But those earthly gifts that the high priest offered were unable to do one very important thing. They were unable to cleanse the conscience of the worshiper. Hebrews 9 is very clear about that. So, even though there were certain earthly gifts that were given to God by men, and these gifts to show gratitude for the salvation God had already given, they could not save the giver. That's the important thing to remember about these Old Testament offerings and gifts and sacrifices as they carry over to the New Testament even, that those sacrifices, those gifts, cannot do a very important thing. They cannot cleanse the conscience because they cannot cleanse from sin. It was symbolic, says Hebrews 9:9. For the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performs the service perfect in regard to the conscience. You see, what is needed is not a gift that man gives to God. Rather, what is needed is a gift that God gives to man, a gift that can clear the guilty conscience, and it clears the conscience because God's gift pays the sins of sinners. It's the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ who lives a perfect life in the place of guilty sinners. It's the gift of Christ who kept the law of God for us. It's the gift of Christ who died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. That's the gift of him. And involved and wrapped up in this giving of God is the gift that reminds us of the one who has borne our sorrows and paid the penalty for our sins. Tied up in all of this is the gift of saving faith. Only here in Ephesians 2, verse 8, is that word used in that way. Only here we find that the gift of God to men is the gift of saving faith. It's the gift that unites us to Christ, that brings us to the Savior and enables us to receive what Christ has done to be saved in life. So your faith in Jesus is indeed a gift from Almighty God. Faith itself is a gift. It's something that He gives to those whom He chooses for salvation. For to you has been granted in Christ the Philippians on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So it's a gift that's been granted to certain ones to believe in Jesus Christ. And when you have a gift like that, it certainly destroys all boasting on the part of anyone. And Paul never boasted of a gift that he received. Paul makes that same comment in 1 Corinthians 4 when he says, "For who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" You see how foolish it is for Christians to judge ourselves by other folks and to think, "I'm better than so-and-so. Look at me. I'm such a great person. I am obviously better than that one line of the gutter over there." When in reality, the only thing that makes me or anyone different from anyone else is the gift that God and God alone gives. The gift that has to do with saving faith. And so, anything that makes you different from anyone else is only because you have received it as a gift from God. Therefore, there's no boasting. How can you boast about something that has been freely given to you? You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. God has given it to you. It's the only thing that makes you different from the unbeliever. How can you boast in anything until it came from yourself? So the only boasting is boasting in Jesus Christ. Boasting in the way of salvation that Christ provides. God forbid that I should boast, Paul says, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And so we can boast legitimately, but only in what God has done for us through His Son. We don't boast in ourselves, we boast in our Savior. And that's a big, big difference. Boasting, really not boasting in yourself at all in that way. Glorying in the Son of Heaven. Jeremiah said, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness of the earth. For his angels I delight." Jeremiah understood a very important thing, and that's simply this, that you and I can't boast about our smarts, that you and I cannot boast about our wealth, that you and I cannot boast about our power or our position, that the only thing we can boast about legitimately before God is that God has brought us to know Him, and that because we know Him, we can say to others, "God is a great God, a God of loving kindness, a God of great judgment, a God of great righteousness in the earth. God delights in such things." And so we can boast in our God and in His salvation, but we can't boast in ourselves. Faith is God's gift to you. God provides what He requires for salvation. He provides faith. Given by the Holy Spirit, God's elect. As it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and believe in the truth. Faith is through Christ also. The gift comes is through Christ. For who through Him believes in God, says in 1 Peter, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory so that your faith and hope were in God. The gift is given by the Holy Spirit, that we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The faith comes by means of the preached word, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I mentioned to some of you the other week that I received a letter from another church in the northeastern part of the United States. They wanted to come and be their senior pastor. And they included a 42 or 44 page church profile in this thing, PDF file. I was looking through it. In the midst of it, they had taken a survey. They had several congregational surveys. A very young congregation. Most of the people were college age, and most of them were single. And they had done all kinds of surveys and questions with this congregation. And in this congregation, what I discovered as I read through that was only 42% of the congregation thought that the preaching of the Word of God was important. That's shocker, isn't it? Shouldn't surprise us too much, because in the church today, there is a lot of passages in it that's not an issue here. It's not a big issue. There's a lot of passages for worship and not worship. There's a lot of passages for importance in the worship service that has nothing to do with what the Word of God has to say. Doesn't the Bible tell us that it is by the foolishness of the message preached that God saves us? And so the important aspect of the worship service ought always to be upon the Word of God, upon the reading of the Word of God, upon the preaching of the Word of God, upon the hearing of the Word of God. Because that is the way of faith comes. That is, God gives it to us. God gives that to us so that we can be saved. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Just like all other aspects of salvation, this one, faith, cannot be earned or deserved. Your righteous acts are not good enough for you to earn the gift of faith. Even if they were good enough to save you, you would have had to have kept the law perfectly all of your life in order to earn salvation. And I am pretty well certain that nobody in this room has done that. In fact, I'm 100% certain nobody has the Bible tell us that. You would not even desire to have faith. The Holy Spirit is not working in your heart. And so faith is a gift. You can receive it and you can exercise it. Faith is received from God and it can be put to use in your salvation. That's why true faith is called saving faith. Your salvation then is from God, by God's grace, and God's gift from first to last. Grace is needed for you to be saved. Faith is a response of your heart to the grace of God. But even that response is a gift of God's grace. Have you trusted in the God who provides this complete salvation in Jesus Christ? If you have, then you will want to respond by a twofold gift. You will want to, first of all, give yourself to God. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and not only have we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to God by the will of God. First, giving that you give in response as you have exercised your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a giving of yourself to God. It's the only legitimate offering, he says, that you can ever bring. As Paul said to the Roman Christians, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And so that includes sacrifices of word and deed, offering continually a sacrifice of praise to God through lips to the thanks of his name. That's the first time of giving. You give yourself to God. And then Paul also said, and then to us by the will of God, you give yourself to other men as well. You show the love for them, as Christ had talked about in the new commandment, that you love one another. You give simply. You give without ulterior motive. You give without reservation. You give as God has given you. The marvelous gift we have. The marvelous gift of salvation has been given. That gift is faith. We respond to God, and then we go forth also from that gift, give ourselves to others as well. How do you respond to this great gift of God? Let's pray. Father,